This is the TriDot Podcast. TriDot uses your training data and genetic profile combined with predictive analytics and artificial intelligence to optimize your training, giving you better results in less time with fewer injuries. Our podcast is here to educate, inspire, and entertain. We'll talk all things triathlon with expert coaches and special guests. Join the conversation and let's improve together.
Hey folks, welcome to the show. We've got a super dope podcast conversation on tap for today. Every athlete can have a rewarding triathlon experience with or without a coach. But for those that can swing it, adding a coach can certainly enhance your tri experience in a good number of ways. And today we'll talk with a few seasoned coaches about everything an athlete should consider when or if considering adding a coach to their situation. Joining us for this conversation is TriDot coach Jeff Rains. Jeff is a USAT Level 2 and Ironman U certified coach who has a Master's of Science in Exercise Physiology and was a D1 collegiate runner. He has over 45 Ironman event finishes to his credit and has coached hundreds of athletes to the Ironman finish line. Jeff, thanks for lending your coaching expertise to us today.
You bet, Andrew. I love what I do and who I do it with. That includes you guys, all the TriDot staff, TriDot coaches, all my coached athletes, and my fellow TriDot teammates, and of course, all the listeners as well.
Next up is Coach John Mayfield. John is a USAT Level 2 and Ironman U certified coach who leads TriDot's Athlete Services, Ambassador, and Coaching Programs. He's coached hundreds of athletes ranging from first-timers to Kona qualifiers and professional triathletes. John has been using TriDot since 2010 and coaching with TriDot since 2012. Now, John, you are TriDot's Director of Coaching, and I know you are just very passionate about setting both athletes and coaches up to succeed with TriDot. So are you excited about this conversation today?
Yeah, I am. You know, oftentimes I feel like I'm headed into a podcast thinking I know this topic. I'm going to do give some good answers, but I think this one definitely set up. So excited for this one. It's great when you go into a test and you know the answers. You've done your research. You've done your homework. So that's kind of how I feel today. It's going to be a good one.
Well, I'm Andrew, the average triathlete, voice of the people, and captain of the middle of the pack. As always, we'll approach the show like any other workout. We'll roll through our warm-up question, settle in for our main set conversation, and wind things down with the cool down. Lots of good stuff. Let's get to it.
Time to warm up. Let's get moving.
Warming up today with a coach-focused warm-up question. Over time, coaches say a lot of stuff to their athletes, downloading training and racing wisdom that they hope will be fully absorbed by their athletes. Gentlemen, from all of the sports coaching you have received over your athletic journeys, what was a moment where a coach's words made a big difference on game day or on race day? John, start with you.
One of the coolest things I've done was be part of my son's Little League football team. We had an amazing group of kids that we started off with these kids when they were playing flag and went all the way up through sixth grade, which is their last year to play in this little league. Seventh grade, they start playing for the school. So had this group of kids, and pretty much every year we made it to the Super Bowl. We had this great staff of coaches that we worked with and got to work together for a number of years. So one year we actually got to play the Super Bowl in Rice Stadium at Rice University. And we ended up playing the same team every year. And every year they absolutely destroyed us. It was kind of like, it was just a given that this one team was going to win the Super Bowl every year. So it was kind of like everybody played for second. And that's where we were. But there was a super cool moment as we were headed into the Super Bowl game in Rice Stadium, where one of the coaches was talking about the very famous JFK speech that was given in Rice Stadium. It was the his go to the moon speech. And it was basically talking about why do these hard things. And he talks about, we choose to do these things, not because they're easy, but because they're hard. And one of the questions he asked to demonstrate about doing hard things is, why does Rice play Texas? And the Rice football team has a abysmal record against the University of Texas, but every year they continue to play. So it's kind of this David and Goliath kind of thing. And why do we do these things? We choose to go to the moon in this decade, And we do the other things, not because they're easy, because they're hard. So the coach is talking about this to these kids before the game. And of course, it's totally going over their heads, but I'm like super jazzed. I was like, this is the coolest thing ever. And anyway, we went on to lose in a major way. But the speech before the game was definitely a winner. So that was a super cool moment to be there with those boys and in Rice Stadium and get to talk about that really famous, really cool speech.
One, I bet that stadium looked massive to those sixth graders playing in that game. They probably felt like they were in just a world-class stadium for the size they are and the fields they're used to playing in. And two, it's amazing to me that, you know, he's pouring out his heart in this speech that is mostly lost on a sixth grade attention span, but for you, Coach John Mayfield, you were just absorbing every single word.
I was jazzed. I was ready to go. I was like, put me in, coach. But
Coach Jeff Raines, what is your answer to this one?
I'm going to take a slightly different approach. You know, I grew up with a triplet brother, you know, him and I were always on the same teams, and we had tons of coaches, you know, from Taekwondo to football, baseball, basketball, you know, all those things. And we've had tons of great coaches, and you know, the ones that coach character and the life lessons are the ones that really stick out. But the approach I'm going to take is my dad, actually, you know, and he coached a lot of my brother and I's teams over the years. And he was very old school. I mean, he still is. You know, he's just that kind that, you're not hurt. Rub some dirt on it. Let's go. You know, maybe it's because we were his sons, you know, on the team. And so maybe he was a little bit harder on us. But, you know, he's just that kind, you know, when the going gets tough, the tough gets going. And he even now, you know, is kind of like, oh, those Iron Mans, you don't need all them gels and all those special formulas and all that. Just eat a Hershey's bar and some orange slices. That's what we had at halftime of our football games growing up. You'll be fine. You know, he's just that kind. But growing up, he, especially middle school and high school, the night before a track meet, my brother, my sister, and I, we all three, all the triplets, we're all, you know, track athletes. And we're also big deer hunters in our family, and we would have venison a lot growing up. My dad would, with the night before a huge meet, huge race, we would have chicken fried venison, mashed potatoes, you know, your super old school comfort food, right? And my dad would always say, nothing runs like a deer. You know, so if you eat that food, you're going to run amazing the next day. Now, nowadays, we know that, you know, that's probably not the best meal to eat the night before an Ironman. But just his little nuances, his old school attitude, and, you know, his humor, that's kind of what sticks with me now as I'm an adult coaching myself.
I think John Deere tractors also say that nothing runs like a deer.
And you know what? Even if all this, you know, it's a placebo, you know, hey, whatever makes you faster on race day, you know, I ate up.
Ate it up literally and figuratively. So this one for me, I remember when I was playing tennis and I'm on court. It was a school where I knew the kid I was going to be playing against. I'd played him multiple times before. I'd always beaten him fairly comfortably. And for whatever reason, on this one particular day, I was just not in a rhythm. You know, my forehand just was not working. It was just off. Man, I was just fighting, and this kid was just pushing me far harder than I thought I should be pushed by him. And in the end, I was able to pull out the win. But I walked off the court, and I was frustrated. And you know, my coach was like, hey, good win. And I'm like, oh man, like that match was horrible. And he's like, what? Like, why was that match horrible? I was like, well, it was horrible. Like I didn't play well. I didn't. And he's like, you won, didn't you? And I was like, yeah, but I didn't play like nearly as well as I could have. Like I've beaten this kid way easier before. And he was like, hey, like some days you have it, some days you don't. Like you found a way to win, even though you didn't have your best stuff today. And there's victory in that. Like all you can do is the best that you can with what you have on the day. I mean, I at the time was a junior or senior in high school learning that lesson from him. And that has applied to so many things in my life, both professionally and personally. And then in triathlon, I mean, a finish line's a finish line. You know, it doesn't always go perfect out there trying to reach that finish line. You know, we have hiccups, we have things that we think could have gone better that we wish had gone better. But reaching that finish line is always a win, and it's worth celebrating. Hey guys, we're going to throw this question out to you like we always do on Monday when a show comes out. Make sure you're a part of the I Am Trot Facebook group. Head to the page and find our post throwing this question out. I'm just super excited to see what positive lessons you've taken in from your coaches, whether they're maybe something you heard from your triathlon coach, maybe something you heard here on the podcast, maybe it's something you picked up in another sport somewhere along the way. But what is a lesson that you got from a coach that sunk in and just really made a difference for you on game day, on race day, whatever? Can't wait to hear what you have to say.
On to the main set. Going in 3, 2, 1.
Our main set today is brought to you by our good friends at UCAN. Here at TriDot, we are huge believers in using UCAN to fuel our training and racing. In the crowded field of nutrition companies, what separates UCAN from the pack is the science behind their superstarch, the key ingredient in UCAN products. While most energy powders are filled with sugar or stimulants that can cause a spike and crash, UCAN energy powders powered by superstarch deliver a steady release of complex carbs to give you stable blood sugar and provide long-lasting energy. I personally fuel my workouts with the Blood Orange Flavored Edge Gel and the unflavored UCAN Energy. Between their energy mix, energy bars, almond butter, and more, there is definitely a superstarch product that you will love. So head to their website, UCAN.co, that's UCAN.co, and use the code TRIDOT to save 10% on your entire order. Once again, that's UCAN.co, promo code TRIDOT. Here at TRIDOT, we routinely shout from the rooftops how much we believe in triathlon coaching, and we just praise the next level care an athlete receives when paired with the right coach. We often get questions from athletes about being coached, and so today, I'm here with Jeff and John to kick around questions like, at what point in your tri journey should an athlete consider getting a coach? How do you find the right coach for you? What enhancements can a coach add to your triathlon experience? And so much more. So fellas, let's get into it here. Just for each of you anecdotally, you know, what led you to become a triathlon coach? What was it for you, John?
So for me, I probably started off like a lot. For me, it was largely born out of my my own training and racing. It's kind of similar to even the founding of TriDot. I think we tell that story in episode one of the TriDot podcast, where Jeff Boer was just consuming all the information he could in order to enhance his own triathlon training and racing. And as you acquire all this information, certain people like Jeff and like myself, just want to share it with others. So that's really how it came about for me. Was I was consuming as much information as I could. I was eating it up. I was loving it. I was reading all sorts of articles, all sorts of publications, and listening to podcasts. I talk about that in episode one of the TriDot podcast, where there were a couple of podcasts that I listened to that really provided me a whole lot of good information in my training and racing, and then eventually into my coaching. And what I kind of started doing was just kind of passively coaching. Like I knew someone would be having a race come up, and I'm like, hey, well, here's some tips that I learned along the way, or here's some things that I've done that have been successful for me. And then kind of from there, it just kind of morphed. And around that time, the training system was not yet even referred to as TriDot, but it was what would become TriDot was in place. And so at the time, Jeff Boer was my coach. He's the founder, CEO of Predictive Fitness TriDot. Back in the day, he was actually a coach, my coach. And so I started talking to him and I was like, hey, I think I'd like to be a coach. And at the time, the only TriDot coaches, or what become TriDot, were members of the Try for Him pro team. So there's a related organization called Try for Him. It's a faith-based triathlon club. And at the time there was a pro team. And so it was an opportunity for these up and coming professional athletes to earn some income to subsidize what they were doing as professional athletes. And so Jeff was wanting to allocate most of those athletes to those guys so they could earn some income. So it took me about a year to convince Jeff, like, I want to be a coach. I'm serious. I can do this. And so I still like to give him a hard time about that, because, you know, here we are 10 plus years later. And so that was kind of how it started for me. And that's how I became a coach. And yeah, I finally convinced him to give me a shot. And a decade later, here I am.
Now that you're a coach, John, and Jeff, I mean, same question for you. Yeah, you know, it's so funny to think back to then and think to just you being a triathlete, you know, knocking on the door of your coach saying, hey, I might be interested in doing this too. How often do you guys hear from your coached athletes that they come to you and say, hey, I've really enjoyed this. I've gotten a lot out of this. I think I could do this too. I mean, is that something you hear from your athletes from time to time?
Yeah. A lot of our great coaches have come up through the ranks, and they started off either as users. They were ambassadors, and kind of same thing. Just like I said, it's kind of a natural path that a lot of us take. You acquire all this information, and then some people just love sharing that information and have that propensity, that personality to share and encourage others. And we'll talk more about that. But you know, that's kind of what I feel is kind of that ideal quote unquote career path for a coach is acquire this information, acquire experience, and then share it with others.
Yeah. I mean, I actually had two of my athletes and just in the last week or two, both reach out saying like, hey, I'd kind of love to at least toy the idea of becoming a coach, a Tri-Dot coach. They kind of like our relationship that we have, and hopefully that, you know, that's spurring them, encouraging them, and hopefully even at the same time, maybe there's something that I could even be doing better, and maybe that is what encourages them to coach. And I hope that they would, you know, obviously reach out, and I would love that, you know, constructive criticism. And that kind of leads me to my answer to this question. Like how did I become a triathlon coach? I loved my high school coaches. And I ran for multiple universities in college too, but even in high school, I lived in the same house four years of high school, but our city was such an upcoming, growing city that I went to three different high schools in 4 years, living in the same home because they just kept building new schools, and so I got a wide variety of coaches in high school, and loved them all. I ran for both NAIA and at the collegiate level, and then after 2 years transferred to NCAA, and so I got to see a lot of coaches. I got to see their approaches. I got to see the public sector, the private sector, you know, some are more character based, some are more performance based, you know, just that. And even in college, undergrad, my goal, was not to be a coach. My undergrad is biology. But as I got further into my collegiate track career, I wanted to get into coaching. I actually wanted to coach collegiate track at one point. And to be a coach at the NCAA level, you have to have a master's degree. So that's why I went into exercise physiology in the beginning.
Interesting. Didn't know that.
But then in grad school, I got introduced to triathlon, fell in love with it. And, you know, once I got that master, I went straight into triathlon coaching and pursued that over the collegiate level. But, you know, just seeing so many different aspects of coaching and coaches and how they coach and all of that, I wanted to go in and try to kind of put a blend of all of them in my coaching approach.
So when I was new to kind of newish in my own triathlon journey, you know, I just kind of wrote off the concept of getting a coach. I wasn't racing long course. I wasn't a threat to win or podium at races. So I just thought, I don't need a coach. I'm not really fast enough to merit the attention of a coach. And the more I got into the tri scene, the more my mindset shifted on that. But for our athletes listening today who maybe have had some form of that in their minds, tell me this, who is the coached experience for? What athletes should consider bringing on a coach?
So really, it couldn't be anyone. So there's not necessarily a correlation between experience level, performance level, race distance, anything like that. So that's what we hear a lot of times. It's like, well, I'm new, so I don't need a coach yet. Or I'm not a high performance athlete, so I don't need a coach. Or I'm not racing Ironman, so I don't need a coach. But really, the coach can provide benefit to athletes of all of those. Whether you're new to the sport or a professional athlete, especially in the beginning, there's so much to learn. And that's one thing I say that coaches can be a great enhancement to a new triathlete. Because again, like I said before, we're basing so much of what we do on our own education and our own experience. There's a lot to learn about triathlon. It's a very long, very steep learning curve, and working with a coach can really accelerate that learning curve. You can avoid a whole lot of pitfalls and a whole lot of lessons learned the hard way by working with someone who's there and kind of guiding you through that, kind of holding your hand through the beginning of your triathlon career and kind of keeping you on the straight and narrow. so that you get to, you know, some of those higher levels quicker. And then, you know, we see on the opposite end of that spectrum that the vast majority of professional athletes are still working with coaches. So, you know, those are short course athletes that are racing in the Olympics. Those are long course athletes that are competing in the Ironman World Championship and every distance in between. So we see that there's benefit to the very new triathletes. There's benefit to the most seasoned triathletes and really everyone in between. So it's really, you know, not everyone has to have a coach. I'm certainly not saying that, but most athletes will be better working with a coach. Most athletes will enjoy working with a coach. Most triathletes will enjoy triathlon more when partnering with a coach in their training and racing.
I think John, you know, nailed the nail on the head there. The only thing that I would add is kind of even taking it to a fairly unique twist is let's say that you hear that, you process it, you got it, and so you're someone who may have been timid, you know, reaching out asking for a coach. Maybe, you know, I'm not good enough, or I'm such a beginner. Like I don't want to reach out to that coach. You know, they'll think it's a joke coaching someone like me, and you know, and that's just not the case. And so the approach I'm going to kind of take is like, let's say someone did reach out, and now they have a coach, but they're still a little timid. And so I've actually had, you know, athletes that say that they don't want to bother me because they're not one of my faster athletes. And so they'll just say, well, you know, I didn't want to bother you. And you know, and that's just not the right mindset, right? And what I want to do is try to erase that misconception of coaching, right? All your athletes are created equal. So don't be timid.
I can attest, Jeff and John, for each of you and for so many other tryout coaches I've been at races with. I mean, you guys get just as jazzed about your slower finishers finishing a race as you do your more elite athletes. And
actually, this kind of reminds me of somebody asked me a couple days ago, actually, like, why are you a parent? You know, why should I have kids? And you know, we're considering having kids, but what's one of,
that's a great question.
You know, and this is for you too, Andrew. You know, why should I have kids? Right. And one of the answers I gave is it is priceless seeing when your kids learn something for the first time and you see it through their eyes and it clicks and now it's a life lesson. They got it. Now they understand that and they'll have that the rest of their life. It's so rewarding as a parent. And a lot of our athletes kind of sort of are our children, right? They're our pride and joy. Like we've created this triathlete. What you just said hit home, because whether it's their first sprint or their 20th Ironman, when I'm at that finish line and I see them cross that finish line for the first time, no matter what the distance, no matter, you know, if you're first or last place, seeing that reward of that athlete, putting it all together, crossing the finish line, completing their goal is priceless.
So if being a coach, watching an athlete flourish and blossom is kind of like being a parent, does that mean if you're like a coach, Jeff Boer, and the athletes that you once coached are now coaches, does that make you like a grandparent coach in the sport? So like Jeff Rains, if one of your coach athletes becomes a coach, are you now a grandparent coach in the sport already? Is that kind of how it works?
Ooh, I like that. That's an even deeper layer, Andrew. Yes. Yes, of course.
So yeah, I can answer that. I can attest to that. And I'll say that I even have somewhat of a relationship or somewhat of a bond to the athletes. So because I do have some of those athletes that I coach that are now coaches. You know, I pay a little bit more attention to those athletes. I track them out there. And so
it's like your grandkids.
Yeah, exactly. There is a little bit of a almost like a lineage kind of a thing. So yes, I hadn't really thought of that. But as you were mentioning that, I was like, you know what, there is something to that. And and we have a great partnership, a great network to where, you know, especially within the tri-doc coaches, you may have a tri-doc coach, but you really have access to a network. And again, we'll talk more about that as well, but you know, there certainly is that, as well. There's community around it. So you get one of us, you get all of us kind of a thing. So it's a great experience.
So coached or not, I mean, we fully believe in using tri-doc for your training plan. So if the software is generating the training and not a coach, what exactly does the coach add to the experience that makes it worth the upgrade?
So from a high level working with coaches, and it really applies to the athlete as well. What I tell the coaches, especially as they come on and remind them throughout the coaching career, is that the coach works for the athlete, not the other way around. Oftentimes, I think especially as we come up through youth sports and then into sport, like school sports, it's very much where that athlete is subordinate to the coach, where there's that. They're that authority figure. So I think we're kind of hardwired to feel like it's us working for the coach, and the coach calls the shots. And you know, to a certain extent in team sports, it is, you know, it's the coach that makes the calls, that sets the plan, you know, dictates everything. And the athlete basically goes out and performs accordingly. But I really feel like the relationship that we have as triathletes and triathlon coaches working with triathletes, the coach works for the athlete, not the other way around. So there's that kind of power switch there. And I think it kind of takes that special person as that coach to relegate that control and say, again, to remind you, like, you're paying me to tell you what to do. You're paying me, you hired me to help you make decisions. And so I think that is an initial precedent that needs to be set, that you are placing me in this position of authority, and you know, it's at your leisure. So when you decide that I'm no longer the shot caller, then I'm no longer the shot caller. But so one thing I convey to the coaches is at a high level, and Jeff spoke to this, the coach's job is to maximize each athlete's enjoyment of triathlon. So very early on, what that coach needs to do is identify, what can I do to help this athlete maximize their enjoyment of triathlon? What is going to define each athlete's maximum enjoyment of triathlon? For some, it's Kona qualification or die. You know, that's it. All I care about, I don't want to have fun. I don't want to enjoy myself. I don't want to have a healthy lifestyle. All I care about is getting to Kona. Others are on the opposite end of the spectrum and say, I just want to be healthy. I want to enjoy triathlon. I want to go to races and connect with people. And I don't really care about my finishing times, but you know, I want to do well, and I want to just enjoy swim, cycling, and running and stay healthy and all that. So, you know, you have that spectrum. And everyone falls somewhere along that way. Most are somewhere in the middle where they want to maximize their potential, but they want to have fun in the process. So it's identifying, what does that look like, and then doing all that you can to work with that athlete to deliver that to them. So again, it's identifying what is going to maximize their enjoyment, and then doing all you can to help them achieve that.
So we have a solid network of coaches across the United States and really around the world at this point that use TriDot to coach their athletes. But there are still plenty of coaches out there working with local tri clubs and coaching athletes without the benefit of TriDot's training. Now I'm a company man. You know, I believe a TriDot coach just brings more to the table for an athlete than coaches outside of our network. John, tell folks why that is.
So yeah, there certainly are unique advantages to being a TriDot coach. So before a coach can do anything, there has to be a training plan. So before a coach can motivate, a coach can inspire, a coach can provide feedback, there has to be something that the athlete is doing. There has to be a plan in place as that starting point. So again, without that training plan in place, there's really nothing to work around. So that training plan is the foundation, that is the base, that's where everything starts. Now, the problem with that is writing and adjusting, analyzing training is very laborious. It's very time consuming. To go and to write a 12, 14, 16 week training plan in into a race takes a tremendous amount of time, especially if the coach is truly going in and doing all they can to create that training plan specifically for each athlete. They're custom making that training, writing every session with that one specific athlete in mind, with that one specific goal. It's very laborious, very, very tedious, very time consuming. And then as that athlete begins to execute their training, they have to go in and look at a tremendous amount of data. We know there are thousands of data points created in every single training session an athlete does. So then the coach has to go and try to make sense of this tremendous amount of data that was created within it, and then decide what adjustments to that training plan need to be made based on all of that. So obviously, as TriDot coaches, we rely on the TriDot platform to do all of that. So we are not having to create a training plan. We are not having to monitor athlete execution. We are not having to make adjustments to athlete training based on past sessions. So we are allowing the technology to do what technology does best, which is optimize data. It has capabilities that we do not. By leveraging the TriDot platform, we are using technology to do what it does best, again, which allows us to do what we do best and allows us to do what the software can't. So software is fantastic at creating training plans. Software is fantastic at analyzing data and making refinements to training. And then what that allows us to do is be fantastic at, again, the things that we do. We are able to spend far less time logged into the training app and spend far more time working with the athletes. So those things like, again, communication, education, inspiration, motivation, all those things that the athletes really enjoy, really value, is what the TriDot coaches are able to prioritize. And then we provide numerous resources to the coaches, both from an education standpoint and a networking standpoint. And then there's opportunities where, you know, we are at every U.S. Ironman race. So that's a great opportunity for coaches to come together. We offer camps and that sort of thing. So it really is, as we've mentioned a couple times before, a very strong network that enhances both the coaches and the athletes.
So as TriDot staff, I found myself at the dinner table just several times, shoulder to shoulder with different TriDot coaches. And it's always fascinating for me to just watch y'all talk shop, because everyone has kind of different approaches to how they communicate with their athletes and how they prepare athletes for an upcoming race. What are some of the unique things you guys have seen TriDot coaches do to just connect with their athletes and coach them just day to day?
There's so many different approaches. Like I have some athletes that are local, friends, you know, even family, you know, nearby. And so there's an opportunity, right, that we meet up regularly. We might do a swim every Friday and then we all go to lunch afterwards, right? And maybe we all meet for weekend outdoor rides. But the majority of athletes that I coach are not local. And so what I try to do and some of the things that I like to, as far as connecting with my athletes, is one, you know, how can we do things together to build our one-on-one relationship? But then at the same time, what are things that I can do to get all my athletes in it together? And so that we have this team morale aspect and we can connect on a whole other level. And so I like to encourage a lot of my athletes. Maybe we all sign up for some of the same races so we can all see each other in person. I actually have 13 of my athletes doing Ironman California this year. It's going to be a blast. It's going to be a party. I'm even doing it as well. And we're all training together and we're all in this together. We have team Zoom calls where you know, every few weeks we all get together and I'll present topics. And sometimes I have guest speakers on there and sometimes I give demonstrations or slideshows so we can all see each other face to face. We have team assessment weeks on Team Reigns. We will all do our bike test the same day. And so we're all doing it together. Sometimes we'll pull up Zoom or text threads, you know, things like that, to where we're all in it together. And your race is 9 months away. Are you really going to kill yourself for those extra 2 watts at home by yourself? But if 15 of your teammates are all doing it together, you know, maybe you'll get those 2 extra watts, right? And I've seen other coaches do this too, but something I do is every Saturday, my crew, we all meet. If you want, we do group rides virtually. So we'll all get on Ruvi, pick a course. Hey, everyone log in at, you know, 8 a.m. and we're all going to ride together, right? And so now I can see everybody's watts, right? And I may say, why are you pushing zone 6 up this hill? We have 2 more hours to go. And so I can actually see how they ride. I can learn about them at the same time. It's like we're riding together, you know, so I kind of know sort of how they're gearing and how they ride, but at the same time, it's a group ride. So just having that quality, having that communication is huge.
So I love feedback. The more the athlete gives, the more I can give back. So it's one of those things that really is when the athlete provides information to the coach can then contextualize that information and again, provide that objective feedback. So that's really one of the key things that a coach delivers to the athlete, is that objective feedback. Is oftentimes the athlete gets caught up in different things, and the coach can be that objective voice of reason or just an objective feedback. Oftentimes, one thing I see on a regular basis is athletes will be frustrated with a session or a race, and to kind of steal your warm-up term, Andrew, sometimes a win is a win, and we don't necessarily process it as much. And oftentimes, you know, an athlete may experience a win, but they don't see it as a win. So they need that objective feedback to say, hey, look, this is actually a really good thing. Sometimes that's a blown session. Sometimes a blown horrible session can actually be a really good thing. So when you have that person that's there to say, hey, look, here's what happened. Here's how you're seeing it. Here's how I'm seeing it. And this is why I think this is a win. Subjective feedback is critical as well. So objective feedback is very important. A lot of that is recorded in data. A lot of that is taken care of by the analytics. But it's good to know that objective data along with the subjective. So something I always want to know from the athletes, especially after key sessions, is how did it go? And I'm not necessarily asking, you know, what was your average pace or what was your max wattage? It was how did you feel in the session? How did you feel physically? And how did you feel emotionally? How did you feel about the session? How did you feel going into the session? How did you feel during? How did you feel afterwards? Because all of those things allow us to, again, enhance that athlete's experience and allow them to enjoy triathlon more. It all comes down to relationship and trust. And a lot of that has to do with that communication, which again goes back to the fact that we have, as triathlon coaches, the ability to prioritize communication. So that really allows us to prioritize the athlete.
So adding a coach to your tri experience, it does cost something. And just like anyone else, you know, deserving financial compensation for their time, for their energy, you know, tri coaches have a price tag, and it's deservedly so. So realistically, what is the cost of hiring a triathlon coach? And for triathletes considering their next tri upgrade, you know, where in the hierarchy of spending money on tri stuff would you prioritize getting a coach?
So with TriDot, the monthly fee is going to vary depending on the coach that you're working with. So coaches are able to set their own rates, and a coach with more experience, more tenure, more education, obviously they're going to be able to fetch a higher rate for their services. So within TriDot, the monthly fee ranges from $250 to $400. The vast majority of coaches fall within that spectrum of $250 to $400 a month, which is pretty standard for the industry as well. So those coaches get full functionality, or those athletes get full functionality of TriDot. So everything that the software offers, as well as unlimited communication, unlimited access to their coach.
So John, when you say unlimited access to your coach, like, so you being my triathlon coach, does that mean like I can just roll down the Friendswood whenever I want and crash on your couch and get all the one-on-one attention in the world that I desire from you, my triathlon coach? Is that unlimited access?
For you, it is. yeah, you know, to an extent, within reason. And really the distinguishment there is often what we'll see is coaches in other platforms will limit things like communication. You'll get a certain amount of communication per month. And again, as we've talked about before, that's not something we want to do. We don't want to limit communication. So we offer that we don't necessarily track it or limit it or say, you know, you only get so much of me on a monthly basis. So yeah, it's as much as needed.
I'll be the first to say I joke about that. Boundaries are healthy. You know, it's not healthy for a triathlon coach to have you blowing up their phone at 2 o'clock in the morning just because that's when you're up and you have a question. Like, boundaries in a coach to athlete in any relationship are healthy. So I'm joking about
yeah. That. So my immediate response to any text at 2 a.m. is what in the heck are you doing up at 2 a.m.? Sleep is very important. You are obviously not prioritizing sleep, or, you know, doing what you need to do to have a good night's sleep if you are up texting me at 2 a.m. But again, you know, it comes down to relationships, and sometimes, you know, we need those people that we can call at 2 a.m. And maybe it's there, you know, certainly not encouraging that. I'm not asking any of my athletes to text me at 2 a.m. Chances are I won't see it till morning. But again, you know, when it comes back to relationship, you know, who knows, that may be there, but you know, it's one of those things like, do you call your doctor, your attorney, your CPA or whatever at 2 o'clock in the morning? Now I will say that we do have, more extended hours than most other professionals. So, not completely unreasonable to have a call at 6 a.m. or 9 p.m. Again, comes back to relationship. What are those boundaries? What have you set between you and your coach, or as a coach, you and your athletes? It's up to there. That the relationship is going to dictate what is acceptable and what is healthy. So there are some folks that I'm thinking of, like, I know Kathy Hudson, one of our fantastic coaches. She's up very early. So for her to respond to a text or an email at 5 in the morning would not be uncommon. Others are night owls and maybe up till midnight with access to their phone. So again, it comes back to having that relationship and knowing those boundaries. Now, as far as the hierarchy of spending goes, we talked before in things like watts per dollar or seconds per dollar. What I would say is get the basics that you need. So things like your GPS watch, a well-fit tri-bike, all those basic things that you have to have, and then prioritize getting a coach as you are able to. So we spoke early on about that learning curve. You're going to get through that learning curve much quicker working with a coach. And then that ongoing partnership that you're going to have with that coach as you're progressing through your training, through your recovery, through your race preparations, you're going to perform that much better simply because you have an educated person who knows you and knows what you're experiencing, what you're going through, and can help you with that. So you will perform better. So if you're evaluating this decision on a seconds per dollar, this is going to be very high up there. This is going to be one of those things that's going to be tough to beat the return on that. So I would say do what you got to do to get those basic things first, and then prioritize adding a coach when available.
Yep, no, very true. Now, some coached athletes partner up with a coach seasonally as their race schedule kind of ebbs and flows, and then some will stay with a coach full time just for the entire year. What are the pros and cons of these two approaches, and is there a best way to go?
There definitely is. I mean, it. I get it, the cost savings, right? And you may have even heard John say $250 to $400 a month. Oh my goodness, I can't do that. And
that's an investment. Yeah, that is definitely an investment for sure.
It is. I mean, and it's a hit, right? And it's a big commitment, right? And now some have even heard, okay, yeah, it's all month to month, right? So I can do it for 1 month. I can do it, for 3 months, right? And then there's my Ironman and peace out. I get it, right? And then, next year, a couple months out from my next Ironman, I'll go back to that coach. We did great or whatever. I mean, the goal, right, is consistency. And we say it on almost every podcast, but perfection is not required, right? We try to do the right training, right? We try to get great training scores and execution, every workout. But perfection is not required, but consistency is key. And so there are just things that you can do with a coach year to year, right? Or throughout the entire year that you can't do a couple months out from a big race or something like that. But year to year improvements are one of the biggest answers to that question. New athletes to the sport, you're going to learn 2 years worth of information, right? And just maybe your first few months working with a coach. And so it's just the value there is invaluable. But then there are also things that if I only have an athlete for a couple months, I'm not going to maybe take your running to the next level. I might need a year to develop stride length versus cadence. And are we going to shorten your stride or elongate your stride? And, and it's stuff like that, we're just not able to do your first year. Maybe you're new, but if I had you 2 or 3 years, there are things that I coach my 3-year-old athletes, that I'm not going to coach someone that I just met a month ago. Right. And so that build on year to year is crucial.
Nope. Totally get that. I mean, there are some folks that the price tag of a coach is just going to rule it out for them. And that's totally fine. I mean, the good thing for you as an athlete is the TriDot Optimized Training is there at several very, very friendly price points. And every athlete is going to see just great improvements just from the training alone. So we're certainly not out of advocating for anybody to break their budget or destroy their budget or live outside of their means by adding a coach. But for folks that maybe can afford the coach, but maybe they can only afford it for a limited part of the year, what part of a season should an athlete bring on a coach?
So I've said this before. I'm going to stand by my answer. If I have a limited amount of time to work with an athlete, oftentimes, especially for a big long course race, the natural intuitive thing is to hire that coach in those last couple months prior as you're getting into those long sessions and race day approaches. I would say I would prefer to work with that athlete in those months prior to that race prep phase, because that phase, that period of time is so critical to that athlete's success. we always say that that is the period of time when you are going to establish what your finishing time is. Oftentimes we have those time-based goals, whether it's to make those cutoffs or to win an age group or win the race overall. Your finishing time is going to be determined by that work that is done in the months prior to you beginning to switch over to building that stamina and doing those longer sessions. So simply because that development phase prior to the race prep phase is so critical, that's when I would say I would rather work with that athlete early on and then let them go and do those longer sessions on their own. Now, that said, that race prep phase, especially for that long course race, is unique. It has unique challenges, and there's a lot of value that the coach can provide through that as well. So it's really one of those things. It's kind of a hard thing as a coach because, you know, as we mentioned before, so much is based on relationship, and it's a progression of going from that development phase into that race prep phase. You're doing different things, fast before far, strong before long. You know, those are two different things. You have your fast phase and your long phase, and it's having the ability to work with that athlete throughout that that entire process. So, you know, it's tough to pick one. Obviously, our best case scenario is to work with the athlete throughout, not have those interruptions, especially knowing that the relationship is so critical. So, you know, if I had to pick one again, I would go with that phase, before the race prep phase.
Yeah. So sooner than later.
And no joke. This happened last year. I had an athlete reach out and say, "Hey, in a few months, I'm going to hire you." And I said, whoa, why? You know what? Okay. You know, that's great. Thanks for thinking of me. And they said, well, I only, you know, they were like 9 or 10 months out from Ironman. And they said, I only have enough to hire a coach for 5 months. And honestly, I had them start right then and there. And we did 4 months right then and there. And then they did 3, 4, whatever months on their own. And then they came back 1 month before the Ironman. Just to kind of,
yeah.
I totally agree with John, because it's now the developmental, the fast before far, you know, let's develop you now. You know, you can build stamina, you know, get some momentum going, and then we'll touch base when race rehearsals a month out, you know, put the fine tune on there. So absolutely, I agree with John there.
Yeah, that's great, guys. That's a great tangible way to look at it right there. So hands down, the most frequently asked question I see within the TriDot community regarding bringing on a coach is this: how do I find the right coach? John, Jeff, what say you?
I think a lot of athletes might know one or two people in their area, or maybe, you know, a year or two ago, their friend used this person or something. And so they have an idea of maybe a couple names that they might, you know, reach out to if they ever did need or want a coach. But I think we have something special in TriDot. We have tons and tons of coaches, and we have Cindy Reeves, right? She's the head of our admin team, our support team. And she does an amazing job. If you don't have someone, you know, or you don't already have a relationship that you know will work well with that one particular person that you have in mind, you know, but you've always wanted a coach, Cindy's a great matchmaker. She knows TriDot. She knows the TriDot coaches, what they offer, where their locations are, what their specialties are, you know, is this person good with nutrition? This one, maybe the elderly, you know, tons and tons of just different categories. Let's say, you know, every coach kind of has their niche specialty, and Cindy and John know these individuals. And so when in doubt, don't hesitate, just ask. Right? Ask on the I Am TriDot Facebook page, you know, what coach have you worked with? Hey, I'm new to the sport, right? Or, you know, I'm a low budget athlete, you know, is there a coach, you know, ask that on I Am TriDot. Reach out to our support, reach out to Cindy, John, let's play matchmaker, right? And then inside of all of that, interview multiple coaches. So don't just have that one name or even the first name that even, let's say, Cindy gives you. Say, Cindy, can you give me the names of three coaches that might,
you know, yeah. Can you give me a short list?
Yeah. All the coaches you guys have out there and all the you know, the relationships you've heard of and know of, who are the two best that you think would work best with me? Interview both of them. Right. And then make that decision.
So when you head into a call with a coach, just trying to get to know them, to interview them and see if they're a good fit for you, what questions should an athlete ask in those sessions and what should they consider in those conversations?
So I would say the important thing is personality trumps resume. A lot of times you'll see coaches that tout oftentimes their own achievements or even achievements of the athletes that they've worked with, their education, how many races they've done, how many certifications they have. And that's all well and good, but I've mentioned several times already that personality is critical, and it is relationships. So I would say when you have that call, let that be one of the main things that you're looking for. Is this someone that you feel like you click with? And I would say vast majority of the time, I've done hundreds of these calls with athletes. You get a sense quite quickly. I think the coach gets a sense and the athlete gets a sense as well. Either you guys hit it off from the very beginning and you just click, or it's just not there, and that's okay. But that's critical to have a personality that you're going to work with, that you're going to be able to develop that trust with, and be comfortable in communication. Even the types of communication that is going to exist between the coach and the athlete is real important. So, if one coach likes to have regular phone calls, but you're a super busy professional and you don't have time for a weekly 30-minute call, then that's not a great fit. But some people prefer their primary means of communication to be texting. And if you're not a texter, then that's not a great fit for you. You're going to have difficulties in that communication. So, especially within our TriDot coaches, all of our TriDot coaches are vetted. I have full faith in the ability of all our coaches. So I really can say that find that coach that you click with, find that coach that you have a personality that you match with, that you have trust, and you're going to enjoy establishing that relationship. Because again, that's what's going to provide the best coach athlete relationship, is having that ability to develop a strong, enjoyable, high quality relationship.
This is more just out of curiosity than anything else, and maybe some other athletes are wondering this as well, so I'll throw it out to you guys. How many athletes do most coaches have on their roster at any given time, and does that even matter to me as an athlete if I'm going to go with you as my coach?
It absolutely matters. Outside of TriDot, your normal triathlon coach is probably going to have somewhere between 5 and 10 athletes on the high end, simply because, as we've discussed, going in and creating a training plan for 5 to 10 athletes is a tremendous time constraint. You're going to be spending 10 to 20 hours a week simply writing training plans. So you've got not a whole lot of time there. You can only coach so many athletes, and then you can only designate so much time to those athletes. Now, as we've discussed, TriDot is a very different model, so that the TriDot coaches are not having to spend that time. So they're able to prioritize communication, prioritize the athlete, but they're also able to work with more athletes. So some coaches may only still have 5 athletes or so, depending on what their time availability is. So anywhere from 2, 3, 5 athletes, up to 20 or 30 athletes or more. We have coaches that, work, part-time. They are able to give a couple hours per week to their coaching businesses, and other coaches work full time. This is their job. This is their livelihood. Where they're coaching 30 athletes or more. So it really kind of depends on the coach and what their availability is.
So for someone who's interested in coaching, I mean, John, you said earlier that some of our best coaches here at TriDot were TriDot athletes first, and they just came up through the ranks and grew to love the sport, grew to know the sport, thought that they would be a good fit. So if someone's listening and maybe that's them and they want to give this a shot and get more involved with TriDot for Coaches, what steps do they need to take to become a triathlon coach?
So that is one of the hats I wear within the organization. I am the director of coaching. So that is something I do, is work with prospective coaches. We do require that all of our coaches have either a certification from their national governing body for the Americans. That's going to be USA Triathlon, or Ironman U certification. As mentioned in the intros, Jeff and I have both of those. We're both Ironman U and Level 2 certified coaches. So we do require a certification from our coaches. And then from there, to become a coach is there's a process whereby the prospective coach provides us with some information. We provide them with some educational materials that inform them as to what TriDot is, what TriDot for Coaches looks like, how everything works. And then it's just a process from there. We get to know the coach, and we allow the coach to get to know us. And if we feel like it's a good fit, then we invite them to join the team.
So as I get to know more and more TriDot coaches, I've just been struck by how different everyone is. I mean, we have just an excellent roster of coaches, and new coaches are coming to TriDot all the time. They all have different backgrounds. They all have different specialties, and they all have different abilities as athletes themselves. I mean, some are or were elite athletes, and some are kind of average Joes, but they're still excellent coaches. So what makes someone a good triathlon coach, and who is a good candidate to even become one?
So I think there's one primary thing with a bit of a caveat. So as we've mentioned, to be a great triathlon coach, you have to be someone that can connect with people and establish trust. So I think that is the one thing that is more so a personality kind of thing oftentimes. And then from there, the caveat is you do have to have an understanding of training principles, a basic understanding of things like anatomy, injury prevention, recovery, all those things that the athletes are going to encounter. So it's not just enough to be a best friend. You have to be able to provide sound advice, sound feedback that is going to enhance that athlete's experience. So it's not just about, you're not paying for a best friend. It's, you know, it's a friend that, you know, is able to provide high levels of sound, advice. So as I mentioned before, oftentimes coaches will tout their athletic achievements as a reason to hire them. Their resume or their sales pitch may be, well, I went X time at Y distance race. And that's largely irrelevant, you know, simply because one coach is able to perform, that doesn't necessarily mean they're able to translate that to the athletes that they work with. And oftentimes there's not. So what worked for that athlete may not work for the athletes they work with. So one thing that I say is there's a lot of my athletes that are faster than me. And it's even kind of fun start with athletes that are slower than me. And after a while, see them move on to be faster than me. Maybe not my favorite part of coaching, but it's certainly fun to see that.
The squire soon surpasses the mentor, right?
You know, if you're doing things right, you know, it's all about helping people reach their potential. So yeah, if their potential is faster than me, then I've done my job well when they're racing faster than me. So, you know, a lot of top coaches travel on other sports. Some were high level players, but a lot were not. You know, you look around professional sports, NBA, NFL, those coaches there, some of them were players, some of them were high level players, but most of them weren't, you know. A lot of those famous Hall of Fame coaches, they're known for their coaching career, not necessarily their playing career. So you don't necessarily have to have a great athletic resume, but you know, it's your understanding of the sport and your ability to lead the athletes that you work with.
Great set, everyone. Let's cool down.
Here and there on the podcast, we like to close out the show just by giving some athlete shout outs. You know, we always love seeing what our athletes are up to on the I Am TriDot Facebook group and on other social media outlets and Strava, of course. And it's always fun just to give shout outs to some athletes who are out there representing TriDot and doing the sport of triathlon proud. So guys, just for the context of today's conversation about coaching, I thought this would be a really fun cool down to have all three of us just give a quick shout out to one athlete and then one TriDot coach who have just been extra triathlon-y lately. Whatever you can have any reasoning you want to for the people you mentioned. Just you know, have a reason and mention them. So, John, one athlete, one coach, giving a shout out today. Who you got?
Man, this is so much harder than like you for me. Oh yeah, this will be a fun quick question. No, it's not. You know, which is my favorite kid, and I got to say, Kristen is making a fantastic comeback, working super hard. And as another one, Misty, working super hard, overcoming some hurdles and some challenges. Meg is absolutely crushing her training with some big goals out there. And man, all of them, I can't pick one. So I'll go with all of them. That's probably a bad answer, but, that's what I got.
We'll allow it. You don't do that often. So we'll allow it. John, what's one TriDot coach you want to give a shout out to today?
I'm going to shout out to one of my best friends and training partner, Coach JoJo. She's doing a lot of fantastic stuff, both with the athletes that she works with, and in her own training. So she's racing both the St. George World Championships as well as the Kona World Championships this year. It put in just a ton of hard work to make that happen. And at the same time, she's just doing fantastic things with the athletes that she works with. So she's a great resource for me. Like I said, she's one of my best friends and training partner. So she makes me better on a daily basis.
Yep. And we've been getting Coach JoJo on the podcast more and more. She just has great insight, great wisdom, is very good at motivating her athletes and discerning what their needs are. And her bringing that to her podcast audience is something that I have greatly appreciated as of late. So I want to give a quick shout out to TriDot coach Jason Verbracken. He is a longtime TriDot athlete who we've interviewed on the podcast before. He was on our episode talking about extreme triathlon. He's training right now for Ultraman, or his first Ultraman distance race, and just a cool guy. And he's so strong, and he's such a great athlete. But at the same time, he's very humble about it. He's very chill about it, and he is just the prime example of an athlete who came up through TriDot as an athlete and realized, hey, I might be interested in coaching. And he is now one of our newly minted TriDot coaches. And so it's really been cool lately to see him posting on the group, bragging on what his athletes are accomplishing and not just bragging on his own accomplishments. And shout out to Jason for taking that leap. Just like you said, John, he and Jeff, he's got all those qualities you want in a triathlon coach, and he's going to do a bang up job for the athletes who end up on his roster. So shout out to Jason. I just want to give on the athlete side of things to just all of our TriDot ambassadors. Right now, at the time we're recording and publishing this episode, we are in the middle of the 2021 TriDot preseason project, and a ton of athletes are coming on board with TriDot as a part of the TriDot preseason research project. Just doing the training, offering their data, and it's really exciting to see. And so just every day, because of that, with so many people coming on board the platform and giving it a shot, participating in the research project, there's just a lot of questions every single day from those newer folks. And I always check the TriDot Facebook group from time to time to see what questions are out there that I can maybe try to answer. And at this point, our ambassadors collectively are just so good about checking that page and answering folks' questions that there's very rarely is something that I need to answer, because it's already been done by an ambassador. So if you are a TriDot ambassador and you're just kind of a part of that effort, just huge thank you to all of y'all.
So is that you letting me get away with one answer or not one answer because that's what you were doing? So yeah, I see how that is.
See what I did there? See what I did? Normally it's Jeff Raines. Jeff Raines likes to throw a lot of things out. So today we're all doing it, but whatever.
Please, Jeff can come whatever. Up with one.
Jeff Raines, what do you got?
I communicate regularly with these coaches. I bounce ideas off of them. I ask them things. I refer athletes to them as well. Those being Brady, Matt, Heather, Joanna, John Elizabeth, Kurt, Jessica, you know who you are. But my coach shout out is going to be Coach Jennifer Reinhardt. She's a TriDot coach, Austin area. I coached alongside her at Austin Aquatics and Sports Academy for years, and we had a blast. I call her the female version of Kurt Madden. if you know who Kurt is and you know who Coach Jen Reinhardt is, hopefully you chuckled there with me. But respect. So she does a great job, and I worked alongside her for years, every day of the week for years at our facility there in Austin, and it was just an awesome time. So I'm going to give a shout out to Coach Jen.
I will say Jen is not the version of anyone other than Jen Reinhardt. She is a legend in and of herself. She has a standalone resume. So yes, fantastic coach that we are better for having among us. So yeah, great choice there. Great shout out for Jen.
Absolutely agree there, John. And the shout out is for my athletes. It's going to be Team Raines, right? We all communicate well. You know, we try to have this group fun team aspect, all those things I mentioned earlier. And we'd have something extra special going right now. And I have also an extra special feeling just about 2022 in general. We've got some good momentum. A lot of these athletes I have coached for a number of months or years now. And so we have a good thing going. So bring on 2022 season. Let's do it.
Well, that's it for today, folks. A big thanks to Coach John Mayfield and Coach Jeff Raines for coaching us on triathlon coaching. A big thanks to UCAN for partnering with us on today's episode. Head to UCAN.co and use the code TRIDOT to save 10% on your Superstarch order. Enjoying the show? Have any questions or topics you'd like to hear us talk about? Head to TriDot.com/podcast and let us know what you're thinking. We'll have a new show coming your way soon. Until then, happy training.
Thanks for joining us. Make sure to subscribe and share the TriDot podcast with your triathlon crew. For more great Tri content and community, connect with us on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. Ready to optimize your training? Head to TriDot.com and start your free trial today. TriDot, the obvious and automatic choice for triathlon training.